sit at my table.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
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 Equality.
Equality.
Remedy.
Protection.
Fairness.
Fair trial.
Privacy.
Right.
Will.
Peace.
Losers.
Movement.
It's my mistake, and let me make it good. I raise the wall, and I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum.
Identity.
Family.
Home.
Conscience.
Expression.
Expression.
Expression,
expression,
participation,
democracy,
welfare,
work,
work,
leisure,
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 health,
education,
progress,
culture,
human rights,
Cartagena,
solidarity,
responsibility.
Fill in the mortar. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good afternoon, and to all of our listeners on CJTR Community Radio 91.3 FM and over the internet at cjtr.ca. We can also be heard on SaskTel Max at channel 806 and Access Communications Digital Service at channel 700. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a collection of musicians from around the world. My name is Jim Hutchings, and with me today are special guests Ritva Gahimbari.
Yes.
Good. And Brenna Engel. We're going to talk about Arts Cares, a special volunteer program for art students from a number of different programs at the U of R. Welcome, Ritva and Brenna.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, I must confess, I had not heard of Arts Cares until this year, but I was looking at some of the information, and it looks like it's been around for 6 years.
Yes. Actually, I didn't hear about it till this year either.
Okay.
My counselor told me about it and recommended that I take part in the program. So I looked more into it, and it is a great opportunity. It gets students involved with the community, gives them opportunities to volunteer with organizations they may have not even heard about yet. So it's a really great opportunity for us. And it's our first time doing it. I'm just in my second year here, and I thought I would give it a shot, and I've really enjoyed it. We volunteer in the mornings.
Mm-hmm.
In the afternoons, we have workshops at Core Ritchie Center, and it's a really great experience just to hear other people who have been helping in the community for years tell their story and let us know how we can help more as members of Regina.
Yeah. Okay, well, let me back up a little bit here and just ask you what program you're in, how long you've been in university, and what you've been doing.
So I'm just in my second year of pre-journalism at the University of Regina. I'm also doing a minor in English, so I'm just finishing that up. Next year, I will most likely be going into the French program at the L'Institut de Français. Getting my French certificate there, and yeah, that's it for now.
Okay, well, what the heck? You never know what's going to take you.
Exactly.
You know,
yep.
I know I've heard of students that they go down a trail for a while, then they realize, oh, it looks like something I'd rather do over in this direction.
Yeah.
So they shift gears and off
Absolutely.
They go. Right. So Ritva, you are not from Canada. So where are you from?
I am from Burundi, and I landed in Canada last two years ago in Quebec.
Ah, la belle province.
La belle province.
Okay, so what you've come from Burundi to Quebec. Was there any particular reason why you picked Quebec to land in?
Yes, as I was a French speaker.
Oh, okay.
I prefer to stay in Quebec.
Sure.
Yeah, and.
But you're here. How come you're here?
I'm here to study and also for job opportunities.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
So, did you do some studying in Quebec, or did you? How did that work?
The first month, I just worked a bit.
Okay.
Then I came here to improve my English.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then to study to start my program at the university in human justice.
Okay, I guess what I'm trying to get at here is: did you come sort of on a student visa, or as an immigrant, or how did that work?
I came as an immigrant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How long did that take?
Oh, the whole process. It will take like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It will be finalized end of April.
Mm-hmm.
And the first 6 months, I had to complete the first stage of the process.
Right. Well, I have heard that it's a difficult process to get permission from the Canadian government to come over here, and you have many hoops to jump through.
Yes, that's
and,
right.
And it's not easy. Anyway, we're very glad to have you here.
Thank you.
So you're taking human justice. What else are you taking?
Oh, that's the only program, and
okay.
That's my first year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, well, glad to have you here for sure. So what do you know then about the genesis of the arts care program itself?
Yeah, for sure. So Arts Cares is put on by the Community Research Unit, which is a part of the Arts Department at the university.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been doing this for, I guess this is its seventh year now. This year mm-hmm. alone, there are 61 students in the program, which is pretty good considering you and I hadn't heard about it till this year,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's 23 organizations in Regina taking part in it. So what that is each student gets three choices when you apply for the program of organizations, gives a little bio about it, telling you about it. Half of them I had not heard of. So that was really interesting just to see that alone. And you apply for them, you usually get your first choice, and then you go out to there for 4 days. So it's always during February break. So whereas most people would, I guess, our age would be watching Netflix and going out. We are
I thought they'd be
volunteering.
Reading. Yeah, I thought they'd be reading.
Yeah, well, that's what it's intended for. But, I mean, myself, I had midterms before the break, so I had nothing to read for. So I thought it would be a better use of my time getting, you know, some volunteer experience under mm-hmm. my belt. And it has been really good. 4 days. Yeah.
I guess it's really interesting just finding out how many volunteer organizations there are in the city and their different concerns. And was it difficult making a decision who you're going to volunteer for?
There was so many different choices just based on field alone, whether it was involved with health or or with children, just so many options. So I chose Amnesty International. That was my first choice. Just because being in pre-journalism, I'm very interested in, you know, what's happening in the world and stuff like that. And I have heard of Amnesty before, but I didn't really look that much into it. So I thought this would be a great learning experience for me. Yeah.
So what are some of the other partners that you could volunteer with?
Oh gosh. There was this one that I applied for that was at Government House,
mm-hmm.
and it was helping with ESL students who just moved to Canada and just helping them use the internet and giving them a tour and everything. So that was another one I applied for. There was also, what else? Street Culture Kids, I believe.
Yeah, we had them on the show here at least
Planned
once.
Planned Parenthood.
I think All Nations Hope was one of them.
Yes. There was quite a lot. I don't know all 23 off by heart, but...
Open Door Society?
Yes.
I'm just going through some notes here, trying to find them. So quite a wide variety
of there's groups. Definitely options, so most people of any interest base could take part in it.
Yeah. So, Ritva... What did you have any difficulty deciding what organization you wanted to volunteer with?
No, on the first site I just chose Amnesty International because I am really concerned by the human rights, mm-hmm. and as it's directly related to my program, I wanted to. And I heard of Amnesty International in my country. Mm-hmm. I wanted to work under their supervision.
So what's been your experience with as far as what you'd heard about Amnesty in Burundi?
I knew they tried to improve the human rights conditions. And also they strive to just to... denounce any situation which is in violation, extensive violation of human rights. Mm-hmm. That's why I was interested to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm trying to. There's so many countries all over the place. I'm trying to place where Burundi is.
Yeah, is it? I've never heard of it.
It's in East Central Africa.
Okay.
Closer to the center and.
Okay.
Our neighbors are Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, Congo.
Okay. Yeah. I think I have it. I have it now. Right. And it's not a very calm part of the world, is it? I mean, there's although the world is a kind of a and there's a lot of unrest in the world in today's times and particularly in Africa. There are things going on that you think of. Thank goodness, so you're probably happy that you're not anywhere near Nigeria. That is a situation there that's not improving. It doesn't look like. Just wondering too here. How long is this week? How long is this program going to happen? Is this just a week? Or?
Yeah, it's not even a full week. It's just 4 days. So we started on Tuesday, and today is our last day in the program. So it's just designed to be, I guess, just a jump start, a little taste of volunteering. Mm-hmm. And usually the results I've heard are you get, inspired, and you want to keep volunteering, and it is the beginning process of you continuing that. And mm-hmm. I can definitely see why. You are just scratching the surface, but you do get lots of inspiration and definitely gives you a different perspective, mm-hmm. maybe on your community and with us, the world that you hadn't seen before.
I was just thinking art students generally, you're looking for a direction to go in.
Yes.
If you're, say, an engineering student or something like that, you've kind of got your path, to a certain extent, pretty well fixed in front of you.
Yeah, whatever. Not much leeway there.
Yeah. So, and you don't find engineering students, I don't think, taking some other paths that art students might find themselves on.
Yeah. Well, I do know someone who is in environmental engineering, which I guess is a different take on that. And he was a little bit hurt that he couldn't take part in this program because he's not an art student. I said, well, bring that forward to the engineering department. Get them going. I feel like there could be lots of opportunities for them to volunteer with environmental groups and whatnot in the city. So
I'm just thinking... I'm thinking there's an organization similar to Doctors Without Borders. I think there's Engineers Without Borders as well.
That's a bit more international, but mm-hmm. it's lacking the community sense just right here in Regina. And I think that needs to be...
Right, yeah. What it's all about, I suppose, is looking around the world and seeing what needs to be done.
Absolutely.
If you're going to university, and I think this is the biggest difference between being in a university program and going to a technical school,
mm-hmm.
where technical school you're developing some skills
yeah.
to go in a certain direction as far as occupation is concerned, but it's not really giving you a real good look at the world around you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And I suppose human justice, that's an interesting pick. Why are you in human justice, Ritva?
I guess to have witnessed corruption, poverty, and illness around the world just triggers me to help, maybe, that I may contribute somewhere to change the
mm-hmm,
world.
Mm-hmm.
This seems like big, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Do you see a possibility of you perhaps taking it one step further and going into law?
I think about it, but my direction I changed
mm-hmm.
under the art care program. I wanted to go to the to take the social justice as a main concentration of my program.
Mm-hmm.
I changed, so it helped me to strengthen my path and
mm-hmm.
my academic view.
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes a change. You have to make a change just so that, what's the word I'm trying to say here? It just makes sense sometimes to deviate a little bit from your initial direction, and you may come back to that direction at some time in the future. But what you're basically, what I'm hearing here is that you're basically looking at some way to make a difference in the world. Are you thinking of going back to Burundi, or do you think that you'll make your home here after you're done school, or what do you think?
It could be one of the options. I don't know yet. It's still too early for me. I have to finish my school. And
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right. So the human justice is just a start, and who knows where you'll end
yeah.
up. Right. Yeah. So what are your thoughts then as far as where you're going to end up? Are you going to... I mean, I know you're in pre-journalism.
Yeah. Well, I do want to end up being in media, ultimately. I have had great opportunities being with different TV stations these past few years, and I really want to be internationally, though. I've always loved traveling. It's been a big part of how I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
My parents always said it's better to have experiences than things, so they would always try and take us on trips to... make sure that we weren't ignorant to the world and other ways of living, and that we understood that just
mm-hmm.
because people lived differently doesn't mean it is wrong. That it, because
mm-hmm.
so many people that I have traveled with
mm-hmm.
Who have that mindset and will go somewhere and they do something differently, and the person will blatantly say, oh, they do it so wrong here. Why would they do that? It's like, no, it's not wrong. It's just their way of doing it.
Right.
So I think people really don't understand that, especially when they travel, and that's a...
It does sound
yeah.
like a valuable thing to widen your perspective.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially
yeah.
when you're young. I think that's a very good time to do
yeah,
that, because
yeah.
I think it becomes a little more difficult when
you're older and you're set in your ways.
Not impossible.
yeah.
Not impossible.
Yeah.
But it is more difficult, and I have the opinion that, well, there's so many things that Amnesty is trying to do.
Yes, absolutely.
And my view on it is the whole idea of creating awareness of a situation and educating people.
Yeah.
And you have to start at that point. And until you get that awareness and that education happening, it's difficult to change anybody's point of view.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I really believe that it's a good thing to get one's children out into the world.
Yes, absolutely.
To see how different people do things and things that they, you know, different ways of thinking and why they think that way, and and to get them away from the point of view that I'm afraid it's too easy to do. Say, oh, we do everything, like you say, we do everything right.
Yes.
And gee, they do
it
differently.
Do it wrong.
They're wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And that there are a lot of areas in which I think that's a problem.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good way. This program also ties that perspective into your own community, because people do have prejudices towards even certain areas of town, like North Central. They have a certain idea, right? And they have a certain idea of maybe volunteers and the work people do. I know lots of people think that, oh, they should help themselves. You know, they don't need help. They need to stand on their own 2 feet. And it's like, sometimes people are in the position that they didn't put themselves there, and they do need a certain kind of help. And so it's really interesting. And this program really helps you see that you can do stuff, and that people, there are lots of ways to help, and you don't need to necessarily open your own nonprofit and do this whole thing. There are lots of small ways that you can help yourself. So I think that's a really good thing that Arts Cares introduces students to.
Did you make it to Dr. Cindy Blackstock's lecture? She did the Woodrow Lloyd lecture just last month.
No.
Oh, you missed a wonderful speaker.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, she was talking about the Canadian government's lack of, or not lack of, but the discrimination in funding between Aboriginal children and non-Aboriginal children.
Right.
And
I had seen campaigns for Have a Heart and all of that that's going on at the university.
Related.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. What that is related to is people were sending Valentines and letters and things like that, and could still do it.
Yeah.
To encourage Prime Minister Stephen Harper to address this inequality in health services and educational services towards Aboriginal children. I mean, that's just an example of the sort of issues. You don't have to look very far to find them, you know. Looking in our own community, there's a program that we're trying to get going. I don't know, when I say we, I think there's a lot of people who are of the same mind as I, called Housing First. And so just a number of things that you can just have a look at and realize that they just make sense.
Yeah.
And they're a way of treating people who are disadvantaged a little more fairly and making a difference. The downside to a lot of this stuff is, it's if you're looking for the bottom line, if you want to make money, it's, you might not make as much money going down that trail.
No.
So that's part of our problem in today's society. I think that university education costs a lot of money, and
yes.
and your parents and perhaps the students themselves want to see some dividends, in terms of financial reward. So that's a tough one.
Yeah.
What sort of, I maybe it's too early to talk about that, but if you have student loans, how do you pay them, you know?
I don't know. I'm lucky I didn't have to get student loans.
That's great. Yeah.
My parents prepared for my university when I was born.
Right.
So
had
a university fund.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fortunate that way.
Right.
But I do have friends who had to have student loans who, my one friend, she dropped out of university. She had only done, I think, 1.5 years, and she's still paying off her loans, and she was working 3 jobs full time, like just working so hard. So in the end, it's, I mean, you got to go for the scholarships and try and do all of that. And last resort would be student loans, because especially if you're doing something very intensive like medical and get student loans for that, you're going to be paying that off for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty well true. And of course, what a lot of people don't realize is you cannot declare bankruptcy and get rid of your student loan that way. That's just not permitted.
No.
Your student loan is there forever. You know? Yes.
Yeah.
But it is possible to, it is possible to do it. People do. And, but it takes a lot of planning and a lot of hard work and it can be done. But that having been said, the financial considerations of the direction that you go in, part of it, I guess, is that you don't want to have that student loan hanging over your head forever.
Mm-hmm.
So you want that paid off.
Yeah.
And, so there are professions that you can go into in business or whatever where you do have financial rewards, and maybe you put your humanitarian aspirations on hold for a little while until you get your student loan paid off.
Yeah. Well, I know lots of students who go into a faculty like that, engineering or business, just because of the money.
Right.
And I say to them, yeah, but are you going to hate your job?
You know? Hopefully not.
Hopefully not. But, but yes. if you're just going into it for the money, then where's the merit in that?
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Especially if somebody has an artistic bent, you know, if they're a musician or maybe an artist isn't quite as bad, because sometimes there are ways to express one's artistic bent in engineering, I think. Possibly. Anyway, we have come to the end of our first half hour.
All right.
So we're going to take a break. And I should have given you an opportunity to pick some music, but we didn't have that conversation. So I took it upon myself to pick some music from the CD collection that's available from Amnesty. And it's called Chimes of Freedom, The Songs of Bob Dylan. I've had it on the program before. There are four discs. And what we have here is a collection, a huge collection of Dylan songs covered by many, many different artists. So we're going to hear another song after the break. And the song is New Morning. And it's being performed by a Darren Criss featuring Chuck Criss of Freelance Wales. Whom I never heard of before, but I really like it, so I thought we'll play that. So we'll do that after the break, and we also have to talk about the Look and Listen Lottery. So we'll do that after the break, after the music, the Look and Listen Lottery, and we'll continue our discussion.
Can't you hear that rooster crowing? Rabbit running down across the road, underneath the bridge where the water flows. So happy just to see you smile underneath this sky of blue on this new morning on this new morning with you. Can't you hear that motor turning? The automobile coming into style, coming down the road for a country mile or two. So happy just to see a smile underneath the sky of blue on this new morning, a new morning, on this new does when you're with me.
to feel the sun shining. Groundhog running by the country stream. This must be the day that all of my dreams come true. Oh, so happy just to be alive underneath this sky of blue on this new morning.
And as I was saying, that's off this fantastic four-disc set, Chimes of Freedom, Songs of Bob Dylan. And it's actually a fundraiser for Amnesty International. If you go on the Amnesty International, Amnesty Canada site, you can buy this. And I think it's $20 or something. Some ridiculously small amount of money for a fantastic collection of Dylan tunes and some interesting cover artists like Joan Baez, Elvis Costello, Miley Cyrus.
What?
Oh, yeah. Sting.
I don't know about that.
Sting. Yeah. Yeah, all kinds of. Michael Franti, one of my favorites. And, yep, this, it just goes on. And we even have one here that's actually sung by Bob Dylan.
There you go.
But, you know, just lots and lots of different tunes here. And I'm just going to count 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. There's about 20 songs per CD.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so yeah. What a deal. Great music. And now I'd like to just take a moment to talk about the CJTR 2015 Look and Listen Lottery. And we call it London Calling. Because this year, instead of going to New York City, we're going to London. The grand prize is a trip for two to London, England. So that consists of return airfare for two at a four-star hotel for 7 nights. A full-day sightseeing tour of London, including Buckingham Palace, a cruise down the River Thames, and more. They also have a London rock music tour, including Abbey Road, Paul McCartney's office, Pink Floyd studios, and more. Then we have two tickets to Michael Jackson's Thriller musical in the West End. And we'll finish that up with $1,000 cash to spend any way you want. So, well, how's that for a grand prize?
That is pretty amazing.
Second prize is a $1,000 travel voucher from Carlson, Vaughanley, Rickert Travel. And third prize, I like the third prize, I wouldn't mind it. Regina Folk Festival 2015 experience. Two weekend passes to Regina Folk Festival 2015 with vendor coupons for the food court and arts market. So, tremendous three prizes.
Yeah, absolutely. I would want them all.
Yes. And the tickets are only $20 each, and we're only going to sell 1,200 of them, so that's the limit. We will sell no more than 1,200. And you can get them from any programmer. You can get them at the office here. You can get them online. And our draw date is May 7th. So that's not going to be very long. May 7th will come along here really quickly. So get your tickets now before you forget. And you'll be kicking yourself if you don't have your ticket when the draw happens. And you can pay by credit card. And you can order tickets at Look and Listen Lottery at cjtr.ca. And for more information about the rules of play, and if you want to have a look at the information about the prizes again, you go to www.cjtr.ca. And, of course, the reason we're doing this is that it's an important fundraiser for CJTR, which is a community radio station, and it basically belongs to its members. And we do so many different things here that you're just not going to find at any other radio station. Mm-hmm. For example, this program on which we are speaking right now, Human Rights Radio, You're not going to find a program like this anywhere else, where we talk about human rights issues here in our own city or in our own province, our country, or internationally. And that's how a lot of people find out about Amnesty and human rights, and that's why we're here. Then there's lots of music shows on, and very wide variety. We've got classical, we've got blues, We've got, you know, hip hop. We've got some DJs, you know, that are busy scratching records and doing all sorts of wonderful things. And we've got some different programmers that just enjoy bringing you their collection of music. One example is the Dog Run, and Eric likes to give you his collection of music, and it runs to some pretty mellow stuff, but pretty wide variety there. And then I'm just thinking of Bulldog on Thursdays, and you never know what Bulldog's going to play. He's he's just an amazing programmer. You may find, I think he was doing a little bit of progressive jazz yesterday, and it was really interesting listening, but you don't know what you're going to get, for sure. And then different programs on different topics. I was just thinking of Bonus Round that I was listening to. We got three guys that like to talk about the electronic games that they play, and the new ones that are up and coming, and all sorts of different things. So I would ask everyone to consider buying a ticket and supporting CJTR, and make a great thing greater and keep it going.
Absolutely.
So, there. Definitely. I can sell you a ticket after the show.
Awesome. I want to go to London, so...
Yeah, for sure. But recap what we're talking about here. We're talking about Arts Cares, and who was it again that started this whole ball rolling?
So that was the Community Research Unit, which is a part of the Arts Department at the University of Regina. And they put this on. This is the seventh year they've been putting it on for. And it is an opportunity for the art students of the university to take part in volunteering with the organizations in our community that are helping out our community.
I'm just wondering, is it fairly enthusiastically embraced by the student body there? Or,
The students who take part are definitely into it, but I think it needs to be promoted more, especially by the arts department. I mean, only our students can take part, so it's not like the whole student body is going to be all into it. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a very important program that needs to be recognized more and needs to be taken part more. There are so many art students, so I think the numbers of participants should be much higher than it is. Because it is a very, very good cause.
Do you think there's a possibility that the students that take part in this, Rich, I'm going to ask you, do you think that there's a possibility that the students who take part in this might find some direction and decide to follow a particular career path because of some of the things that they discover while they're volunteering?
Yes, definitely, yeah. Because they will, we had an opportunity to exchange on our academic experiences, and also to know the organization who are involved in social change and social community development, and this just inspires us to look into other directions, and also to know about all the field that can be directly related to our academic field.
So definitely broadening horizons.
Exactly, yes, yes.
Yeah. Do you find that students that haven't taken part are interested in the students, what they're doing, who have decided to take part? Or?
Yeah, lots of people that I talked to in the past few days, who my friends who have been asking me, you know, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, how is it kind of thing? They're really interested. And then they say, wow, like, good for you. Maybe I should try that out. Like, that sounds like it would be really interesting and learning curve that maybe you haven't had the opportunity to do before, or you didn't know you had the opportunity to do, when it's really not that hard. But the thing is, you don't need a program like this to volunteer. You can do it on your own. Just, research local organizations in the community and see what they're all about. And I'm sure there's more than one that will interest you that you can help out with.
I'm just thinking of some other things. One other thing in particular, a demonstration about homelessness. Isn't there, there is an activity where students actually live outside
yes.
in tents It's an intense experience.
Yes,
sorry.
It is. Yes. I can't remember the formal name for the program, but yeah, students will tent out just outside of the university. Last year it was just right outside of the Riddell building.
Mm-hmm.
And they were sleeping out there, staying out there all day. They were still going to classes during the day, but they would come back there.
Right.
And I remember the weather was very iffy in the duration they were outside. At one point it was really wet,
mm-hmm.
and then it was cold all of a sudden. But I mean, this is Saskatchewan, so I mm-hmm. guess it's nothing new, but
right.
They really tough it out just to, I guess, really prove a point and for themselves have that little experience.
I think you're doing, two things are happening there. One is the people who are participating themselves get a really good appreciation
mm-hmm.
of what it's like to be homeless, living on the streets,
absolutely.
You know, trying to stay warm.
Yeah.
You know, and the people that aren't taking part, they're seeing these people out there and wonder, what are these crazy people doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be curious enough to find out.
Yeah, and what ends up happening is people will bring coffees to them from Tim's throughout the duration because mm-hmm. they just feel so bad, you know? It's cold, and
yeah.
you're sleeping out here, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe a little more appreciation for the people that you see out on the streets.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
who are actually homeless. And
yeah.
I remember, wasn't it I seem to recall a story in the Leader Post about someone who just
mm-hmm.
bought someone some food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I think he was in there. I don't think he was actually in the. I don't think he was actually in the location, but this person who goes to Timmy's often
yeah.
saw this person. It was obviously someone who wouldn't be a bad idea to get him a little something to eat. And so he went and did that. And the more people that have that sort of, what am I searching for here? Kind of a revelation in a way. You know, there are people out there who are hungry.
Mm-hmm.
They are hungry. And they don't know where their next meal is coming from. They don't even know where they're going to sleep that night.
Yeah.
And we have them here in Regina.
Mm-hmm.
And as a friend of mine pointed out, we don't have a plan yet. We don't have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And there needs to be a plan. This is just one of the many things that happens when you choose to become aware of what's going on in our own city
mm-hmm.
and be observant. Pay attention,
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing. So that's one of the reasons that I think this is a great program, this
yeah.
volunteer program that you've been taking part in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely opens your eyes to certain things that you didn't really think about into detail before. I know a lot of things you might be aware of, but sometimes you choose not to think about them, and you don't think it's a reality when it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to ask. I'm just going to ask Ritva. You're from Burundi.
Yes.
And what basically, you know, we don't see that much homelessness, that sort of thing here. But in Burundi, what's the situation like there? Do you have is life difficult there for someone who perhaps doesn't have a good job? How do they survive?
Yeah, we do not have any like public structure to help those who are homeless,
mm-hmm.
but we have a family structure which is stronger than here, I
mm-hmm.
think.
Right,
and they are more helped by the family, by their relatives than the government.
Mm-hmm. So more dependence on family.
On family,
right.
yeah.
So if you don't have family, you've got a problem.
Yes, exactly.
But what if your whole family is in poverty? Because we have that here where families go and need to get food
mm-hmm.
and stuff. What happens then? Is the whole family, does no one help them? Or?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, we have the same phenomena here, those who are in streets and who do not have anything to eat. And yeah.
Do you see many, we've got NGOs here like Oxfam and that sort of thing, and there are many more that will go to different developing countries and try to help And I think what they're trying to do two things. They're trying to help people who need help, but also trying to provide ways for people to help themselves. You know, mm-hmm. do you see much of that happening in Burundi, or is it just an awful lot of?
We have a lot of them, but they do not provide a shelter. I mean, they provide they provide some support.
Mm-hmm.
For those who do not have a home at all, they can't have like a permanent shelter from the NGOs, and they have to try to survive.
Right. I'm just wondering if you have noticed over the past few years a difference in the presence of Canadian help in Burundi, because it's been noted that our own Canadian government is sending less money to Africa for aid than what they have in years past. I'm just wondering if that's in evidence there, or you just haven't noticed.
The general public does not notice this kind of affair, I could say, because I know we have Oxfam Quebec in Bujumbura in Burundi.
Okay, yeah.
And how it might reduce the aid or support, we can't really know.
Right.
Yeah, we can't notice that they reduce the support or. During the years, we can't know.
Okay.
It's difficult to say. Yeah.
So, well, like I said, I'd just like to reiterate that I think it's a really good thing to have this kind of a volunteer program to, I think, basically open people's minds to the possibility that they can make a difference in someone else's life. Someone who's, a good example is All Nations Hope. You know, they're there for so many people. So if you're helping there, you're helping a lot of people that definitely need it. And their circumstance is such that you could be, well, there's a lot of work ahead. There's a lot of work ahead because, you know, the situation that these people live in is not going to improve markedly anytime soon, and we need more people to see what's going on and decide to make a difference. And I suppose, you know, talking about career choices, it's almost, for a lot of people, maybe what you have to do is get your good-paying job. And then once you get into a position where you can contribute financially, you're able to do that, or you'll have time to free up time to go and contribute. I'm just wondering, what's your personal experience, Brenna, if you don't mind sharing, in terms of what perhaps your experience has been in being able to help other people who have definite need.
Mm-hmm. I think it gives more of a sense that you're giving back, especially when I myself have been very fortunate in my upbringing and the opportunities I have been given.
Mm-hmm.
It gives a sense that I'm giving back to my community and where I have been raised, and that I'm doing something to help. With working with Amnesty these past few days, it has really opened my mind to things that have been happening internationally that I really wasn't aware of, because what I found is Amnesty looks into things and help with things that they don't report on the news until a long period of time after it's begun or happened, or they just don't report it at all.
Right, exactly.
And so I just didn't know about a lot of it. So that made me much more aware of a lot of the situations that are still happening in our world that I never thought that were. I'm just thinking of an example right now of one man who was sentenced to 2,000 lashes.
Right.
And that just took me aback, because I'm thinking, lashes, that is such a ancient form mm-hmm. of punishment, and it's being put out today. That to me is very alarming, and I just didn't think that, something like that would be done, but it is.
Yeah.
So
I think we're in a slightly better situation now than say when I was growing up, which mm-hmm. is a long time ago. But when I was a kid growing up in Northern Ontario, I really didn't have much of a clue of what was going on in the world at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're limited to
resources.
You know, what you see on TV,
absolutely.
What you hear in the radio, mm-hmm. and that sort of mm-hmm. thing. And you usually don't hear
yeah.
very much of that sort of thing.
I think that's why social media has made people a bit more aware in society. I think people have less of an excuse to be ignorant to some things, because mm-hmm. you can be watching something live from the other side of the world by the click of a button.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have much more resources now, but it's still people's discretion whether they want to know mm-hmm. or not, whether they want to believe it or not that it's happening.
And it seems to me too that although we have this communication and it is possible to know what's going on,
mm-hmm.
I think the most important thing is the person-to-person contact.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
The social media doesn't quite make that grade. If you're actually volunteering for an organization that helps homeless people or helps people who are in some kind of difficulties, and you're actually interacting with them, mm-hmm. you know, Carmichael Outreach and places like that, then you get a better appreciation of what's actually going on. If you don't have that actual face-to-face
mm-hmm.
Experience,
yeah.
You don't quite get it, I don't think. And so I think it's valuable to get out there and do some volunteering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally, yeah.
Anyway, we're getting close to the end of our time here, and I'd like to thank Ritva and Brenna for being here. I really appreciate you coming and talking about Arts Cares. I'm astonished that I wasn't aware of it over the last few years, but I'm hoping that perhaps the program will get larger in years
yes.
to come.
Yes.
How many students did you say are involved at
this
point?
There were 61 students this year who signed up. Yeah,
61 students.
Yeah.
And how many departments are involved there? Like we've got...
Oh, gosh. Quite a few. I mean, if you're in an arts degree, right?
I found a list here. Geography, interdisciplinary studies, contemporary issues, interdisciplinary studies, nonprofit and voluntary organizations, politics 230, women's and gender studies, and justice studies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not that many classes, so...
Yeah, well, this is part of a assignment that some of those classes can do, but it is mm-hmm. also open to any art students.
Okay.
So anyone in the arts department can do it.
So not just those classes that I just mentioned.
Yeah, those were just the classes that are doing this program for their class.
Okay.
I'm not taking the class. I'm just doing this because I'm an art student, and it's a good opportunity, yeah.
Okay. As we close this week's Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio, we hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. For information on past and upcoming shows with links to human rights actions and information, go to amnestysaskatchewan.ca. Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."